Now, let me show you how this works. We just don't say it and have it go away. We save it and we grade ourselves. So, for example, back on the November 12th edition of Evan and Tiki, we went through all the major free agents in Major League Baseball and predicted where they would end up. Now, that process is still going on as we speak, but a few days ago, Alex Bregman signed a 5-year contract with the Chicago Cubs. So just to show you how this works before we dive into the head coaching vacancies, let us go to our prediction desk with Sean Morash and find out how we did on predicting back in November where Alex Bregman would end up. So, Sean, who should we start with?
Well, after that promo, why don't we go after hours with Tommy Lugauer here?
So I'm going to say Alex Bregman to the Phillies.
Incorrect. He is not a Philadelphia Philly. Who's next?
We'll go me. Seattle Mariners.
Incorrect. He is not a Seattle Mariner.
Brutal. All right. We'll go Tiki.
So I'm going to say Boston Red Sox.
Well, a lot of Red Sox fans hoped you were right that he would re-sign, but no, not the Boston Red Sox. How about me?
So I'm going to go with Alex Bregman picking the Detroit Tigers.
Ah, damn it. So we all got it wrong. So currently on our scoreboard, Tiki Barber and I, Evan Roberts, have 2 points.
Yes.
You get a point for a guy remaining with his team, 2 points for a guy going to a new team. So Tiki and I have 2, Tommy has 1, Sean has 0. Has still not picked a correct free agent, but good news. Kyle Tucker, Cody Bellinger, Paul Bichette, Framber Valdez, still out there in terms of free agent picking.
God, this offseason takes so long for Major League Baseball.
I know.
And we say the same thing every year, but every year we get to January and we're talking playoffs in the NFL, and all of a sudden you'll get a signing. And it's like, what?
No, you're right.
I forgot that guy was still unsigned.
Luckily, with NFL head coaching free agent bingo, by the end of the month, we are going to have an answer.
Right.
Like, it will be clear as day. So let's start things off in the AFC with the Cleveland Browns.
This is the hardest one for me, dude.
You don't like me starting with the Browns?
No, I do, but I don't. And it's because I have 2 answers here.
Oh, come on.
The problem is, I think... All right. So I originally had Robert Saleh.
Oh,
going to the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Because
they like defense. And it just feels like their mentality. And Robert Saleh is a really good defensive coordinator, as we've seen both this year with the San Francisco 49ers and his previous stint with the 49ers. But I'm also of the gut that they're just going to elevate Jim Schwartz.
Really?
So.
Now, Jim Schwartz has coached before, obviously, with Detroit, and he had some level of success.
Yes. And he's there.
Yeah.
And they had a great defense this year. So I'm going to say Jim Schwartz.
Sean Morash.
I have Jim Schwartz written down.
Really? Both of you? Yeah, I'm going with the big one. They're going to end up with Mike McCarthy.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they're the team that says, you know what, culture builder.
Right.
We'll take the 12-5 where we're pissed off that we don't make the playoffs. The young quarterback. I'd be curious to think what McCarthy feels about Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Plus, Mike McCarthy feels like Cleveland. He's fat. He's disrespected. He's Midwest. He's from Pittsburgh, obviously.
Right.
So Mike McCarthy to Cleveland. The Las Vegas Raiders.
Brian Flores. I've been on this one for a while because I have a super team. Brian Flores with Brian Daboll and Raheem Morris.
Sean Morash.
I have Chris Shula.
Chris Shula.
You missed the obvious with Chris Shula, but that's all right. We'll get to
we'll get there. Yeah, I'm
I get a lot of research for this with the interview list.
I want it to be Brian Flores because I think he deserves it. I am so skeptical he's going to get a head coaching job.
Yeah.
So I'm going away from it. I'm going to go Jesse Minter. I'm going to go a little Jesse Minter goes to Vegas. Tennessee Titans, Tiki Barber.
They need a coach who can help a young quarterback evolve into a player. Joe Brady. After the Buffalo Bills get to the Super Bowl.
I like that.
All right. Joe Brady. Go ahead, Sean.
I'm going Mike McCarthy here.
To Tennessee?
I am.
All right. I'm going Matt Nagy to Tennessee.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think Matt Nagy is one of those guys who's destined to get a second opportunity. It's just a matter of when.
I've been on him for a while. It's time for him to come out of purgatory. He has no reason to be there.
So I got sold on Matt Nagy, not by you, though you tried, not by Brian Costello, he tried. There was an interview that CBS Sports did with him in which Nagy is going over the criticisms of him as a head coach to see if he's learned from it. And I thought it was fascinating and very self-reflective. So I'm now on the Matt Nagy train. In fact, a year from now, if things don't work out with Aaron Glenn, I'll be warmer to the Jets giving a shot to Nagy than I would have been a year ago.
Right.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Mike McDaniel.
We're going another head coaching job right away.
Right away. Oh. I know he wants the head coach right away, But think about what he did with Tua, with all the timing throws and detail on how that offense was supposed to execute. Tua just couldn't stop throwing interceptions at an opportune time. Mike McDaniel with Lamar Jackson.
Scary.
That is scary.
That is scary. Sean Morash.
Jesse Minter.
I'm going with Chris Shula there. I think that the name recognition, the history of that name, the tradition in Baltimore, it's just too perfect.
You also missed the Mike Shula opportunity, but keep going.
Well, what is the Shula opportunity I'm missing?
We'll get to it.
All right. The Miami Dolphins.
Mike Shula.
Well, first of all, isn't it Chris Shula?
I mean, Chris Shula, yeah. Yes.
You got me confused.
Right.
It's not Heath Shula either.
Right.
What's the deep... Oh, yeah, the Shula connection. My Shula connection's better, though. Baltimore?
I guess.
So we both did the same thing, yes. If you really think about it.
No, you're right.
We just took variations on the Shula connection.
Right.
I went old school, you went new school.
Right. I went
Chris Shula.
What is the one thing that bothers Bill Belichick? That he couldn't catch Shula. I went Brady hiring Shula.
Mm.
Wait, so what? I'm very confused.
The one thing...
Oh, the Raiders. I got you.
Yes.
You already said... I got you, got you, got you. All right, what's your Miami prediction?
It's Jeff Hafley, the Green Bay connection with the GM.
Yeah, so this one is purely selfish.
Yeah.
This is a stick it to Evans, stick it to Beningo, stick it to BT, stick it to all the Jet fans out there. The next head coach of the Miami Dolphins will be Robert Saleh. He's coming. We know he's getting another opportunity.
No doubt. He's already getting interviews. So.
That's clearly happening, and the question is where? And I could totally see, by the way, Robert Saleh's going to walk in, look at Zach Wilson, and say, get the hell out.
Right.
Literally, get the hell out.
Right.
So I'm going with Robert Saleh to the Miami Dolphins.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The Arizona Cardinals.
This is where I have Mike McCarthy. Program fixer.
Yeah.
So we all and they have, need it. And they need everything.
We all have Mike McCarthy going to a different place. Sean Morash, the Arizona Cardinals.
Robert Saleh.
Hmm. I'm going with Clint Kubiak.
Mm.
Clint Kubiak. The Atlanta Falcons.
Sorry, Giant fans. John Harbaugh.
Wow. Wow. That was the swerve no one wanted to see. You think John Harbaugh is saying no to the Giants and yes to the Atlanta Falcons?
Yep.
Damn, because Matt Ryan's that smooth.
Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan. Ice in his veins.
And Matty Ice. That's why they called him that. Go ahead, Sean.
I'm going with the guy currently sitting with Matt Ryan, Kevin Stefanski.
Me too. I'm going to completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin Stefanski ends up in Atlanta, which I think I know that's what it means for the Giants, which leaves us with the Giants. We'll do the Steelers in a second as like a bonus round. The New York Football Giants next head coach, Tiki Barber.
Kevin Stefanski. I have to stay true to what I said originally.
It's what you want too, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm going to go with John Harbaugh. I think it's happening. I think Giant fans, prepare yourself for something you have not felt in a very long time. Ecstasy, excitement, getting what you want. And I do think he is the clear choice. I think that all the indications are there that John would be intrigued by this opportunity. And I think by the end of the week, there's going to be an annoying celebration on this radio station from Giant fans. I say annoying because I'm jealous, but I respect the hell out of it. I think you're getting your man.
I agree. I think John Harbaugh will be the coach of the Giants. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, look at you. Finally coming around to positive goodness happening in your life. And finally, it is possible that by the end of today or tomorrow, there'll be a breakup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin. Let me be the first to tell you that their next head coach will be Marcus Freeman, formerly of Notre Dame.
What, he's going to renege on his commitment to go back to Notre Dame?
1,000%.
Why?
You know what? Sean, pull the clip for me. I have a clip. Oh, you probably didn't even get it ready. I have an interesting report about Marcus Freeman. Not my report.
Right.
It's from the great Ian Rappaport,
okay,
who's very good at reporting NFL information about Marcus Freeman. Because to Tiki's point, it came out a few weeks ago when Freeman's name was linked everywhere, mm-hmm, including the Giants.
Right. The AD was adamant. No matter who wants you in the NFL, we are keeping Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. And then we saw, even though we didn't hear a contract extension, we did hear something about him committing to stay at Notre Dame.
That's what we heard, but we didn't hear the specifics. Here is a report from Ian Rappaport from just this past weekend,
okay,
around the potential candidacy of Marcus Freeman.
My understanding is Marcus Freeman, who did receive a contract adjustment, not extension, adjustment from Notre Dame for his agreement to stay. These teams who viewed him highly still believe there is a chance that he comes to the NFL. They still believe, Mike, he is a top-tier candidate. Now, it would probably not be like Marcus Freeman come in an interview. It would be they go through the process and then say, this is the guy we want. That's really the only way it would work. But Marcus Freeman still looms large in the NFL coaching carousel.
So if you believe that report, and I do, Ian Rappaport's one of the best at it, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the special kind of organization that would cause Marcus Freeman to say, screw it, I'm going back on the contract adjustment, I'm coming to the NFL. Plus, Freeman's talked positively about the Steelers before.
Right.
I think if Pittsburgh makes the move, that's where they go.
That's an interesting one. I'm going to say Jesse Minter here for the Steelers, if it becomes available.
Sean?
I think the Steelers are so due to hire a coach and realize he's not the right guy 2-3 years down the line. I think they just promote Arthur Smith.
Oh, God.
I was thinking about that. Like, literally, as I was thinking about the Steelers, I was like, they could promote Arthur Smith. He has had coaching experience. Could you imagine?
I mean, if Robert Saleh gets another shot, and he was basically exactly the same record-wise, 7-10 every single year.
I'm not saying that Arthur doesn't deserve another shot. What I am telling you is the Steeler fans are not going to be good with it.
No. Look, Arthur Smith also kind of rubs some people the wrong way, just to how his personality is. So I don't know how much of Steeler Nation knows that. Like, you know it because when he was head coach in Atlanta, you just saw it. But you don't really see the coordinator. You get to blame him, but you don't see him. You don't hear him speak all the time. So that would be surprising, Sean, if that happened.
Yeah. That would be Steeler fans would lose their freaking minds if that happened. They would.
I agree with all of you. I'm just saying, you're already late to the party in interviewing, and aren't they due as an organization to clunk this up?
Yeah. No, you're right. They absolutely are. By the way, if it's available, we don't even know if it's going to be available.
No, I got you.
Even though my gut feels like it is going to be.
But more so because of the choosing of Mike Tomlin than the Steelers breaking up.
Because he knows. We let our show with this. It just feels like Mike Tomlin has banged his head against the wall over and over and over and over again. And the failings, in large part, are due to offensive ineffectiveness. And that's basically the quarterback. Ever since Ben left, who have been the quarterbacks? And so you win too much. You're always picking 20-27. And you never get to draft one or develop one. And then going in free agency and taking some disgruntled quarterback from some other team, they're not available, not anymore. So I think he might say, I'm good, man, and walk away for a year.
All right, we'll check in on these results as the entrants come in or the results come in over the next couple of weeks. 888-808-1019, the number. Joe is in Hamden, Connecticut. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Good.
Yeah, I had a question for Tiki. You remember the game in Chicago when Love got the concussion?
Yes. Yes. During the regular season.
Think, you know, the NFL talks a lot about how they care about the concussion protocol. But the guy that tackled, I don't even know his name, but he slammed him. It was like an assault.
Yeah, it was.
And all they got was a 15 yard penalty. He didn't get suspended.
Right.
No one even talked about it.
Well,
he
got fined.
Really,
right.
You did they get fined?
Yeah, and well, so that's the thing, Joe. But the fine is, it doesn't do anything. You know what I mean? You get a $10,000-$15,000 fine. What does that do to you?
Suspension of games does something.
100%. And they do that in college.
Yes.
Right?
Or targeting. And they eject you from games.
They eject you immediately from the game. I don't know if they suspend you in college, but something along that lines would, especially if it's repeated, like
Vontaze Burfict.
Perfect, exactly, yeah. For the Steelers. No, against the Steelers. He was
with Cincinnati.
Cincinnati always was hitting Antonio Brown and the Steelers.
Yes.
I mean, I think he concussed him at least twice, maybe three times. Right? But and he ultimately got suspended. That's how you prevent it. But it's hard to push this on repeat offenders because you don't always see repeat offenders.
Artie's in Brooklyn. Hey, Artie.
Hey, Artie.
Guys, welcome to the 10 o'clock spot, man.
Appreciate you.
I miss you guys.
Thank you, man.
So I got a plan. I want to see if you guys agree. Okay? Instead of taking a chance with Moore, you need so many pro players. You trade the two and you find a team like the Cardinals that would want to start over. You take their quarterback that they're not happy with, Kyler Moore. I mean,
Kyler Murray.
You draft a guy that's a mini-me in college right now. which is Chambliss. And then you go and get the offensive coordinator that coached Murray. What do you think? You get two defensive guys in the first round. You have your quarterback in Murray. You have your future quarterback in Chambliss. And you finally got an offensive coordinator.
Here's my question, and I don't know if Sean...
Talking about Cliff Kingsbury, obviously.
I don't know if Sean remembers it or you remember it. How did the relationship between Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray end? I know that Kyler's best success came with Cliff Kingsbury, but obviously it came with a breakup.
I think it ended somewhat contentious only because everybody found out about the contract. Remember, his contract had a clause in it about whatever, work habits and work dedication.
There were some thoughts that Cliff was slipping things to the media because he wanted him to work harder, and the whole video game thing came out as a result. People thought it was because of Kingsbury.
Yeah, that's a problem right there. If they're, because I know that we see connections and say, ooh, that makes sense.
Right.
But maybe it's a bad connection. Maybe it's one of those connections that won't exactly be rekindled joy.
But with that being said, Kyler Murray had his best seasons with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a Pro Bowler.
He was.
Rookie of the Year.
I don't think there's any question that when you look at his resume, that's where he had his best success. Of course. Josh is in Far Rockaway. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First of all, Evan, Tickey, welcome back to the spot. Evan, I'm getting flashbacks to high school 15 years ago listening to you on 10 o'clock. This is what I'm used to.
That's great.
I want to say regarding the Giants, listen, I disagree with you, Tickey. I think that Shane was a mistake. I think the Giants dropped the ball. I think they could have and would have just should have started over. And you're a very positive guy, right? But everything you could tell me about why Shane is a positive, I'll just point to the record and I'm going to win because it's been horrendous. But the way I look at this now, I'm a little more calm than a couple of weeks ago. If they get Harbaugh, I think he supersedes the GM. Meaning if they hire a Stefanski and they win 5 games this year and they blow it up and then they hire a new GM, that guy has the right to say, listen, Stefanski's not my guy and everyone's on a messed up timeline.
Right.
I don't think any new GM, best case scenario, they win 12 games, they get Harbaugh, everything's great. Worst case, they win 4 or 5 games, he goes to ownership and says, listen, this GM is not great. You got to bring in another guy, and they'll do it. And the new guy will want to keep Harbaugh. So that's the only way I see this really working out well. So I just wanted to say that, and hopefully they get him and take it from there.
Look, Josh, if that's the result for the New York Giants, it you're right. If John Harbaugh is the head coach of the New York Giants, then you're not worried about the GM anymore.
No, not at all. Right. And I think he's right that if, look, John takes over, I think the expectations for the Giants next year are going to be very high, not just from Giant fans, but from me. I would look at them as they're a 9-win football team. Like, again, John can make that difference.
Right, but the reality is so much of it's going to depend on what the staff looks like.
Sure, but I trust, based on his history of building good staffs, that he'll build a good staff.
Yeah, of course.
But I think that if they had a bad first year, there would be zero discussion of John Harbaugh being one and done. Mm-hmm. It would merely say, okay, let's change the GM. He's going to bring in his own guy and go from there. I think it's different if it's not John Harbaugh.
I know. I hear you. And look, this is my thoughts on John and versus Kevin Stefanski are a little bit nuanced, but it's only because when I look at what defenses are starting to do in the NFL, you're going to have to start combating what defenses are doing. I showed it to you yesterday when we were looking at what game was that? The Bears. It wasn't the Bears.
I think it was the Patriots.
The Patriots. When you look at what the Patriots are doing defensively, that's really confusing. It's hard. And you're going to need an offensive mind. So either you're hiring a great coordinator who's the next head coach somewhere else in 2 years, or you're hiring one of these innovative, contemplative offensive minds to combat what defenses are starting to try to do. Then if you don't do that, you're going to be behind. You just are.
Tiki just told me he's getting hungry. So fill our belly, Sean.
Sean Moresh in the booth. Somebody hide the castle. Optics flying, phones ringing, Evan's yelling.
No!
Tiki's laughing, chaos cracking. Nobody's in control. It's Cinco de Roncho. Bam! Crunch! Let's go!
Cinco de Roncho is brought to you by Felix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. I like to be ahead of things.
I like to be ahead of things. So I am anticipating that at some point when he climbs out of whatever hole he decides to go into around late February, Aaron Rodgers is going to... Maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't even tell us he's retired. We still don't know who he married. So he could have played the last game of his career.
That is so true. I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah. Wore the wedding ring all year. Who knows?
We don't know who his wife is.
Like, would it shock anybody if he just stops playing football? We never heard he retired.
I almost think that's the likeliest scenario. Yeah, we just never hear from him again.
It's
at
insane.
Least for a while.
So I'm going to give you, in what I think was the last game ever, Aaron Rodgers' 5 greatest career accomplishments. Oh, hold on.
This is totally going to be douchey.
Here we go!
Number 5.
No question in my mind.
How about Aaron Rodgers quarterbacked only one of 6 regular season teams in the 16-game era to finish 15-1? What a year that was for him. Obviously, it didn't end the way he hoped. A little divisional round stumble versus the Giants. But 15-1 that year, just an incredible season for Aaron Rodgers.
And all I could think about is the fact that they went 15-1 and didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have a year like that, losing the Super Bowl, losing a championship game. He lost in the divisional round to the New York Giants. So far, I'm going to be pretty accurate. This is a complete troll job. The first one is pro-Giants. No, keep going.
Number 4.
How about Aaron has the lowest career interception percentage of any QB to throw at least 1,500 passes? When you think about it in this perspective, he has 213 less interceptions in his career than Brett Favre.
That is incredible.
Wow.
It's why when you look at
Favre retired with every record, including the bad ones.
Well, because no one threw a bigger, worse interception than Brett Favre. I mean, he was the king of it.
Well, he had 2, didn't he?
2 what?
2 very public, massive interceptions in championship games.
Corey Webster, obviously, with the Giants, and the Vikings.
Saints.
I'm going to hit you game. What do they call that thing again?
The Bounty Gate.
The Bounty Guy. I always forget the name Bounty. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Last night, for the record, I thought when Aaron Rodgers threw that pick 6 to end it, that him and Favre would both end with playoff interceptions. I forgot that Brett Favre played the next year in Minnesota. Did you remember that?
Yes. He came back the next season, yeah.
Totally. I don't remember that at all.
I have no memory of that year for him.
Well, I thought that was his last year, like his last two seasons, his last career games. His last stops ended with interceptions.
No, because what happened is after a year like that, a great regular season, losing in the title game, Brett came back and eventually got hurt. That's how his streak ended. Oh. I think he got concussed. And so, like we all kind of figured with Brett, he wasn't going to decide to end his career. Someone was going to decide it for him. And unfortunately, in that following year, 2010, that's when it happened. I don't remember much about the season, but I do remember he came back, he played, he got hurt. Goodbye.
Okay.
Number three
is simply this. The man won 4 NFL MVPs. I mean, 4 is an incredible number.
That
so that's number
true.
3 on the accomplishment.
He is statistically, you talk about the interception percentage, you talk about the fact that he never threw interceptions, the touchdown passes, the MVPs. Statistically, he is up there with the best of the best.
All right, here we go.
Number two
is he won a Super Bowl, but not only that, he won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy as his head coach. And Aaron Rodgers might have single-handedly inflated this coaching search for Mike McCarthy, because it's the one thing we lean back on. He won a Super Bowl.
That's so unfair.
Mm. My list.
I mean, it's just unfair.
Why is that unfair?
Because he's acting like Mike McCarthy is a tub of goo.
Well,
I mean, Aaron Rodgers was also a 27-year-old, only 3 years of experience quarterback at the time. How about we give Mike McCarthy a lot of credit for helping Aaron Rodgers get his one Super Bowl? Because if he doesn't win that Super Bowl, he's the modern-day Dan Marino, and that's not a compliment.
Or you just say they were a good team together.
Yeah.
Correct.
They didn't win the division that year.
Yeah, they were the sixth seed, believe it or not. They won all their games on the road, including the NFC title game in Chicago. And what I remember about
at Philly, at Atlanta, at Chicago.
I know about the Chicago game as the NFC title game. They were favored in those games. Like, they finished the season in a way in which you knew what was going on.
Right.
Like, despite the fact that they were the sixth seed, like, they were expected to break through and get there.
Wait, so who won the division?
Chicago.
Oh,
they won the NFC Championship game in Chicago, and Chicago was either the 1 or the 2 seed that year. Memory serves correct.
With no quarterback, but what an accomplishment by Mike McCarthy. All right, here we go.
Number 1.
And the number 1 greatest career accomplishment for Aaron Rodgers has to be making people say the word Super Bowl and Jets in the same sentence for an entire summer. I mean, imagine how great you got to be for that to have happened.
Oh, that's a great one.
And that's Cinco de 5. Oh, I'm sorry, what is we doing?
Luncho.
Cinco de lunch.
Was I right, though, that entire list was either a troll at Rodgers or we cap it all off
the Jets.
With a troll at the Jets? That's exactly what it was.
I mean, he's not wrong, though.
No, he is right. The only time in my lifetime. I shouldn't say
that.
Well,
that's not true, because 15, right?
What do you mean 2015?
I mean.
No, really? I never thought they were going to win a Super Bowl in 2015, but they were good. They won 10 games and lost week 17 in Buffalo. But no, I think the two other times I thought legitimately about the Jets winning a Super Bowl was the early days of the Rex era, when they're in the title game in back-to-back years.
Right.
And then obviously Vinny in 98, and then even the start of the 99 season. But that side of that, you go into seasons hoping for the best. You don't go into seasons thinking about a Super Bowl.
You're right, and you've said it before. But if you really think about it now, we are still in the midst of this drought, the longest in professional sports. And for a minor couple months, everybody thought the Jets had a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Right. In that context, you're right. Nobody would say the Jets were going to make a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers was here, and everybody thought the Jets were winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I think it was a combination. First of all, I can only speak for myself. I never thought the Jets were winning a Super Bowl. What I thought was
he did.
Well, he should think that. I think any professional athlete should think that. Mm. But I think most Jet fans just hoped we were going to be competitive, get to a title game, go on a playoff run. I'm not sure many Jet fans thought they were going to win a Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
With all you gave / paid for Aaron Rodgers, wasn't that the point?
Well, I think that's always the goal. But if you're asking me, did I think they were winning a Super Bowl? I never thought that. And I don't think a lot of Jet fans thought that. I think that's something that you guys claim we said.
No. You're mishearing what Sean said. Nobody said it, from our standpoint. Aaron Rodgers said it.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers made it the talking point.
As he should.
Don't say no fans. Fans said it after Aaron Rodgers.
No, but right. I will never hold
don't,
it.
Don't put this on the Giant fan, Evan. This was completely on Aaron Rodgers and the Giant sycophants that said, yeah, you're right, Aaron. We need another trophy next to that one from 80 years
but
ago.
But an athlete talking about his goal of winning a championship, I'll never have an issue with that. Like, you should have that goal, even if it's far-fetched.
You're missing the point, Evan.
But don't say that fans.
Maybe I am missing the point.
Evan, you were the outlier, not the majority.
The outlier in what regard? That I didn't think they'd win a Super Bowl?
Dude, we all have to sit here for months as non-Jet fans and listen to how many calls to the station, how many people going, we're finally going to do it. You're burying your head in the sand if you don't think that happened.
Hey, if that's really what happened, I'll give you a homework assignment. I'll give you a week to uncover it. I want you to pull all the phone calls from the archives of WFAN that show Jet fans saying we're going to win the Super Bowl.
You know what?
When you present that, I'll say I'm sorry.
If I have time to do that, I will. But this is just so typical of you. Prove the audio to prove it. We lived it, and you're forgetting it.
No,
that pisses me off.
We lived an era in which the expectations were raised. But the idea that, like, it was different with the Nets. I think, yes, the 12 Net fans out there legitimately thought, well, KD and Kyrie are here. They're going to win a title. And they were title favorites. The Jets were never title favorites. Mm-hmm. We hoped they'd be good. We thought they had a chance. But, no, I don't think there was an overwhelming arrogance that the Jets were winning a Super Bowl. And citing Aaron Rodgers' confidence and the lines that he gave us to make us happy, I don't think it's fair. I'm talking about the athlete saying he thinks he's going to win.
Okay.
Juan Soto also said he expects a dynasty with the Mets. Remember that line?
Yeah. What about the fake magician that showed up on Hard Knocks that told everybody the Jets are winning the Super Bowl? Does he count?
Well, the difference with the... Yeah, exactly.
Remember that?
Exactly right. The Hard Knocks thing. I forgot about that until you just mentioned it. The problem with Juan Soto is that no Met fan followed suit. No Met fan was like, he's right. We got a dynasty. You immediately said, well, who's our ace?
You clearly never listened to Tommy Lugauer when he was around here.
No, I didn't. But Tommy's so positive, you kind of have to discount some of it. But no Met fan was like, Juan Soto's right. We have a dynasty on the making.
Speaking of worried about
what the hell is Clay Holmes going to look like as a starting pitcher.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he had some interesting comments after the game last night. Obviously, he didn't really offer much about his career. He said he's going to give it time, which I totally respect. But he was asked about Mike Tomlin. Mm. And it led to this kind of diatribe speech from Aaron Rodgers on not only the state of our country, but the state of the way we treat head coaches. Take a listen.
Interesting. I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. You know, when you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleurs of the world, those are just two that kind of I've played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat, you know. But the way that the league is covered now, and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league.
So, you agree with that? Basically, our society is leading us to put guys on the hot seat who don't deserve it?
If he's going to take a shot at people who sit at desk and talk about football, he should take a shot at people who are uninformed and talk about Mike Tomlin. I've never said Mike Tomlin was on the hot seat, and we talk about him frequently. I think Mike Tomlin is going to walk away from the game and go sit on a beach for a year. This came up when everybody started pining for Mike Tomlin for the New York Giants. I'm talking like months ago.
Yeah.
And
years ago, too. It's been going on for a while.
Right. And so I think Mike Tomlin is not on a hot seat. He will leave Pittsburgh when he wants to leave Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh would ever fire him. And if they did, it would be a mutually agreed separation. So he's right, but he's wrong pertaining to Mike Tomlin. Because anybody who knows the Steelers and the Rooney organization, they know that that's not going to happen.
He may not have been on the hot seat with ownership because we've never been given an indication that ownership would move on him, as you said.
So if you don't know that the owner is saying mm-hmm. this is a, like, what's her name in Indy, Sean, the new owner?
Carly Ursay.
She basically put that entire staff, Ballard, the general manager, and
Shane Steichen,
on the hot seat right after the season.
Yeah.
The last game, there better be an urgency next year to win. And so that group is on the hot seat. The Steelers will never, ever do that. Of course, the fans will.
Well, that's where he's been on the hot seat. He's been on the hot seat with fans.
But Aaron wasn't talking about the fans. He was talking about people who talk about the Steelers. And I don't think most Steeler pundits are saying, Mike Tomlin was on the hot seat. And if you are, you're uninformed.
Well, was LaFleur on the hot seat?
Mike LaFleur?
LaFleur? He brought him up, too. He brought up LaFleur as well, which I thought was very interesting. Clearly has a respect for LaFleur. He said, if you think he should be on the hot seat, you're crazy, too. He brought him up as well.
But who's saying that Matt LaFleur is on the hot seat?
Well, you know what this gets down to?
Because I don't think anybody said that.
What's the definition of being on the hot seat? Like, if an owner has to publicly say it, or it needs to be reported by NFL insiders? What's the hot seat?
The latter.
Okay.
When an NFL insider says, Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat, maybe I'll believe it. But I don't think that that's the case. You'll never hear that from Pittsburgh. I don't think we heard that from Green Bay.
Yeah, I think what's going on in society, to comment to Aaron Rodgers, is we all have more information, we all have more access, we all have more ways of offering our opinions. You would never have heard a Fire Tomlin chant in any sports stadium 60 years ago.
Right.
Maybe 30 years ago, right. Yes. We act differently. And
true.
Where I'm mixed about this is Mike Tomlin is a great head coach. I would give up a finger for him to be the head coach of the New York Jets. Same thing with LaFleur. They're both wonderful head coaches. But I also understand that when you're in that slog where, yes, your culture's good, yes, you win a lot, but you can't break through, I understand that, hey, maybe it's self-evaluation time. It doesn't mean Mike Tomlin and LaFleur are idiots. It just means I get it. I think the best example is Yankee fans with Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same. They've had success. You can't argue it. They were in the World Series a year and a half ago.
Right.
But there's that, hey, they haven't broken through. Anyhow, what do you want, Sean?
Will Salmon from The Athletic.
We have a baseball update?
Yeah, it's now not breaking the glass because it's not a signing, but he's done some fishing around, and he is saying that the Kyle Tucker to the Met news is legitimate. Multiple meetings have took place, and there is a proposed contract on the table 3 years between 120, 140 mil over those 3 years.
So that's about 47 a year, kind of in that range?
That's a big AAV. I mean, but that feels median.
Yeah, oh, very median because it's
short deal, big AAV.
Keep this in mind about David Stearns and Steve Cohen, both of them. They have not given out a lot of long-term contracts.
I think one, right?
In David Stearns' case, one, and that is Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
He tried Yamamoto,
right.
But everyone else was three-year deals, two-year deals, opt-out deals. Steve Cohen, before David got here, in trying to bridge the gap with his pitching, gave out monstrous AAV short-term deals to Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander.
Right.
So based on that, based on David Stearns not wanting to go long-term and Steve Cohen's willingness to go high AAV short-term, it makes sense that this is what the Mets are trying to do with Kyle Tucker. It would be awesome if they pulled it off. I remain very skeptical that the Dodgers aren't going to offer something better.
Mm-hmm.
And I also remain skeptical that Kyle Tucker wouldn't just prefer the longer-term deal that the Toronto Blue Jays are likely offering.
Well, there we go.
Well, you got to turn the mic on, Sean.
This sucks. I we have baseball breaking news.
Is it involving Kyle Tucker?
No. Jeff Passan. Nolan Arenado has finally been traded.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Not to the Yankees.
Not to the Yankees.
the Diamondbacks.
We can now finally disprove Evan's brain.
Yeah, I reported for a year Arenado to the Yankees, according to my brain. So where's he going, Arizona?
He is going to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
There you go.
For Jack Martinez.
Okay.
We'll pay cash. The Cardinals will receive Jack Martinez and pay cash.
They pay some cash. They got to pay down part of that contract. Yeah, Arizona was linked for a while with Alex Bregman, so they get Nolan Arenado. Oh,
and the Diamondbacks have made another familiar move.
Yeah.
They've added Johnny Loaisiga.
Good. I'm glad. I thought the Mets were going to sign him.
Minor league deal.
I thought the Mets were going to bring in another Yankee reliever. Yeah, I appreciate you breaking the glass and giving us the Arenado news. But seconds after you're breaking down the Met offer on Kyle Tucker, you break the glass. You made my heart skip 15 times.
Well, you pissed me off denying that Aaron Rodgers and Jet fans were in cahoots. So that you get a little payback.
Do you think the Mets are going to end up winning this Kyle Tucker sweepstakes?
I don't.
I want to believe it. I just don't.
You know me, Evan, for the last 3 years, when things get like this, where it's a really good player, I always default to the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers could use him. And they're linked to him.
They could pay him whatever he's desiring, and it could be an opt-out, one-year, 2-year opt-out, and then he gets back into free agency.
Yeah.
Go win a championship, re-enter free agency. Yeah, you're 28 instead of 27, but you're going to get paid. So I can't help but think Dodgers.
Yeah, that's where I lean to, unless he prefers the longer-term deal that the Toronto Blue Jays have been linked to.
Yeah.
The beauty for Tucker, and for anyone who says, well, why would he do it? Why not just take the long-term deal? What's the benefit to a short-term deal? Number one, Kyle Tucker fell off the rooftop in the second half last year with Chicago, right. So his final numbers were not great. He has a chance, because you look at his career resume, he's a hell of a ball player. He could have a monster season and re-enter free agency. But the other huge factor, which I brought up to you yesterday, is that the free agent market for the next 3 years when it comes to position player is barren. It does not feature in-back bats like Kyle Tucker.
Right.
So he has a chance to re-enter free agency, even if it's not next year, the year after that, as the unquestioned best offensive player.
Right. Supply and demand benefits him if he's a year or 2 years from now.
Correct.
100%.
Now, right now, he's about to turn 29 years old, so that would mean entering free agency in his 30s, his age 30, 31, or 32 season. But again, if you're putting up massive numbers and you're the only game in town when it comes to free agency, you could do incredibly well. So fingers crossed, but what I will project to you is I think we're going to get an answer on Kyle Tucker before we get an answer on John Harbaugh.
Wow.
Yeah, you like that prediction?
I mean, John Harbaugh has so many things to think about. So many options, and he's going to be number one essentially on everybody's list except for the Baltimore Ravens. So I hope it gets done quickly, but I don't think it will.
John, I think, may decide by early next week or the end of this week. I think we're days away with Tucker, maybe hours away. There may be our first quandary for Pete Hoffman. Mm-hmm. Hoff's going to be in a tricky spot at 4:15 when I say, let's do a Rico, and Craig's staring at him saying, you better press the buttons, right? I know what Hoff's going to do. He's going to do the right thing. He's going to press record on that Rico.
And then walk away.
And then Craig's going to fire him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to end badly.
Why? Speaking of...
I'm just kidding.
Did you listen to the afternoon show yesterday?
I listened to parts of it. It's one of my favorite things to do in the afternoon.
Why? What happened?
We were approaching 5 o'clock, let's call it 4:40 or so, and I found it very interesting that Craig whooped out a top 5 list out of nowhere.
I did hear that, yes.
What? I'm sitting there, and I have the show on in the background, and I go, excuse me.
He did an ode to a Cinco.
He basically did a Cinco at 4:40 yesterday.
Yeah, I did notice
that. That's amazing.
Yeah, like, and everybody knows lists.
Was there, like, production behind it?
That was where Hoff came into play. Hoff suddenly is whooping out numbers. He's counting it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Wasn't a top 6 list.
Was it our 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
It wasn't.
It was close, though.
It was close.
I thought it was the same.
It was like a Hydrox cookie to an Oreo cookie version.
Yeah. That was clearly an ode to you, Sean.
Okay.
You should feel flattered.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Craig and speaking of Sean, I tweeted it out about an hour ago. If you go to at Evan Roberts, WFAN, it is the picture that Craig put out a few years ago of Sean Morach looking like a Cabbage Patch Kid. Okay, I'm going to show you the picture so you can describe it. Tell me, Tiki, Sean doesn't look like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yes, he does.
That's pre-beard, though.
Yes, yeah. Without the beard, it does.
There's a reason I started growing the gray beard.
It is a young Sean Morash with no beard, with the very bald head.
That is pure Cabbage Patch.
And it's a Cabbage Patch kid wearing his Yankee shirt, and they look exactly the same. So you could check it out on my Twitter feed. It's a Craig tweet from a few years ago, from almost the anniversary, January 6th, 2023.
Wow.
Almost to the day. Let's go to Pete in Babylon. Hey, Pete.
You guys better leave Sean alone. He's doing double duties back there.
Yeah, he is, but that's his job from now on.
Listen, Evan, Sean, Tiki, you know I love you guys, and you can't hide from us, man. I'll follow you to the moon.
Appreciate you.
Listen, let's start off by saying let's get that tub of goo out of our Giant offices right now. I've been screaming about Jesse Minter for a month. The reason I've been screaming about Jesse Minter is because he's a Harbaugh protege. So I got two Giant points. Let me get them both across.
Yeah.
Harbaugh protege. Now we have an opportunity to go and get the protege, not in Jesse Minter, but the two guys, Harbaugh, who have taught this kid who I've been screaming about. Hire Harbaugh. We got to fire Shane. Let me push back on you a little bit, Tiki.
Go ahead.
2 seconds.
Go ahead.
I just got it. Listen, I'm just going to throw names at you. Evan Neal, Tay Banks, Dalen Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Thibodeau was not a 5 pick. He let Xavier McKinney go. He let Julian Love go. If you hire Harbaugh, he's got to go. And lastly, please, help me with this one. Let's draft Spencer Fano with the 5 pick and bookend our tackles and be done with our offensive line. I love you guys always.
Appreciate you, Pete. I'm still high on Mbeu, though. I mean, not Mbeu, Marcus Bowe.
Mbeu.
So, Mbeu is your
M-B-O-W,
guy.
M-B-O-W.
Right.
Which I love.
I'm still high on Bowe. I think he has a chance to be a really good player in this league. Now, could he move the guard? Sure. But I don't see that. I think he's a tackle.
Anthony's in Brooklyn. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. Hey, second time, long time. I have a submission for Idioms for Idiots.
Go ahead.
Nice.
All right. If you want to rewind to about 12:30 on the free Odyssey app, I'm pretty sure you could do that on YouTube, too. Evan said he's a front runner for Seton Hall. I think he meant bandwagoner, buddy.
I don't know. Is that incorrect?
I think front runner works.
Yeah.
No, front runner.
Because a front runner means you jump in rooting for a team that's winning.
Yeah. I mean, I always root for them. I just don't watch them.
I'm a front runner.
I'm trying to think how people use front runner.
So if you walked around in the 90s in New York and you saw somebody with a cowboy hat, you'd be like, you're a front runner.
Well, but that isn't the way I used it for myself. I am a fan of the Islanders. I'm a fan of Seton Hall. I just don't watch every game the way I do with my other teams.
Yeah.
And once they're in the playoffs or the NCAA tournament, I'm locked in.
So I think he's wrong then.
Yeah.
Because bandwagoner is, I'm not paying attention. I'm not a fan of that team. Oh, they're good? Oh, let me jump on the bandwagon.
Right. Like Evan jumped on the Texans bandwagon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But that's only to serve my interests of beating the Patriots.
But you only talk about Seton Hall when they're in the front.
Yeah.
So you're a front runner.
Absolutely.
No, you said it right.
Absolutely. I think
that was a good try,
Rock.
I'm glad he made us think about that one.
No, it was a very, very.
Because I completely missed it.
Very good try.